Welcome to the Print Pod. Rudra Chaudhary, director of Carnegie India, wrote an article titled Indira Gandhi Convinced World Before 1971. She and Manik Shaw both knew timing was key. I am Sukriti Watts and I bring you the podcast version of this article. On 28th or 29 April 1971, the exact date is unclear. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi convened a crucial cabinet meeting to discuss the crisis in East of Bengal. The term East Bengal was first used in a parliamentary resolution of 29 March 1971, condemning the brutal crackdown in East Pakistan, a more dispassionate term used on previous occasions. The use of the term East Bengal, argues Chandrasekhar Das Gupta, the author of a remarkable new book on India and the Bangladesh Liberation War, showed that the Prime Minister was a step ahead of her advisors. She had quickly grasped, according to Das Gupta, an Indian diplomat who served in Bangladesh between 1972 and 1974, that Pakistani President Yahya Khan's heavy-handed tactics had delivered the final death blow to Pakistan's unity. To discuss the crackdown and India's approach to the same, General Sam Manekshaw, then Indian Chief of Army Staff, was invited to the 28-29 April meeting. Others included Foreign Minister Swaran Singh, possibly Defence Minister Jagjeevan Ram, Prime Minister's advisor P.N. Hakasar, and others. According to Gandhi's biographers, such as Pupul Jayakar, the following exchange took place between the Prime Minister and her Army Chief. "Refugees are pouring in," Gandhi made clear. "You, Manik Shaw, must stop them. If necessary, move into East Pakistan, but stop them." In response, the Army Chief, according to other sources, stated, "I guarantee 100% defeat if the Indian Army was asked to immediately intervene." Accordingly, Indira Gandhi is said to have been swayed against intervention in the summer of 1971. Take this logic a step forward and it could be deduced, as many have, that India averted military defeat because of Sam Manekshaw. To be sure, this exchange, recounted in numerous secondary accounts, has become something of a living myth. The archival document for this meeting remains classified. The Ministry of External Affairs is said to have digitized the records, but nothing has been transferred to the National Archives as yet, to the best of my knowledge. Das Gupta set the record straight. Manik Shaw, a gifted raconteur, argues the former diplomat turned historian, circulated a colonial tale about how he had restrained Mrs. Gandhi from ordering the Indian Army to march into East Pakistan in April. The description that takes up a couple of paragraphs in this monumental effort of 250 pages had set the scene for all sorts of literary interventions. According to Arjun Subramaniam, a former Air Vice Marshal and the celebrated author of two fantastic volumes on India's wars, Das Gupta does a little more than undermine an iconic army chief. For Subramaniam, the suggestion that the Prime Minister and not the Army Chief played a more significant role in those testing summer days seemed preposterous. To an extent, the outrage is understandable. For many, especially those who served in the Indian military, Das Gupta's interpretations are emblematic of a particular homily in the larger literature in civil-military relations that consistently undermines the agency of the Indian military. Yet, in this case, Das Gupta appears to have got it more right than wrong. Doing so does in no way take away from Sam Manekshaw's fundamental contributions to this nation. In fact, continuing to place the spotlight on this narrow episode in history, a mere slice of Manekshaw's role in the 1971 war, does more to undermine an icon that many of us have grown up with. There are at least two sets of reasons that support Das Gupta's claim that Indira Gandhi had already made up her mind about the need to delay military intervention prior to the meeting on 28 and 29 April. Further, much like any policy process, thinking around an eventual military intervention evolved over next 7 months. To understand the development of policy, the archival records are clear and easily available in at least half a dozen libraries around the world. Declassification of the MEA's record is of course desirable, but it is not essential to understand the motives behind India's decision to wait to intervene until December 1971. First, from the beginning of April 1971, Swaran Singh encouraged restraint, garnering international support against Yaya's regime and for an intervention was on top of the Indian Foreign Minister's agenda. D.P. Dhar, the Indian ambassador to the Soviet Union, had reported that Moscow's support was unclear. He and his deputies had only begun re-exploring the potential of a treaty of friendship first mooted by Russia in 1969. It was signed on 9 August 1971. The treaty was seen by many as a diplomatic shield that sought to protect India from American, Chinese, and Pakistani collective actions. Yet, as Dasgupta highlights in his book, until November, the Soviet leadership was divided on its support to India. Andrei Gromyko had also conveyed to his American counterparts early on in June and July that the treaty could in fact restrain India. None of this was lost on Dhar. In fact, as Srinath Raghavan makes clear in his magnificent treatise on the global history of the creation of Bangladesh, both Gandhi and Haksar believed as early as the end of March 1971 that interference in events internal to Pakistan will not earn us either understanding or goodwill from the majority of nation states. It was imperative to design an international campaign to win global support. This is exactly what transpired over the following 6 months. The primary objective of the campaign was to convince capitals around the world of the genocide being carried out in East Bengal. Gandhi did not fail to use exactly these terms in interviews she gave across Europe and the United States. Second, Jagjivan Ram, the defense minister, and others cautioned Gandhi about the potential role China could play in the event of an early intervention. This line of thinking deepened following Henry Kissinger's secret visit to Peking in July 1971. The treaty with Russia was seen in some quarters as a deterrent that could keep the Chinese at bay. Further, as mentioned above, it was understood to provide a degree of cover in the events of Chinese, American, and Pakistani collusion. Evidence of this collusion became clearer to Swaran Singh in June when he visited the United States and learnt of American arms shipments to Pakistan. In the end, the deliberations that took place on 28-29 April made clear, as J.N. Dixit writes, that an evolutionary policy stance was to be adopted. The objective, according to Dixit, was to leave open the freedom to exercise the military option if interim measures taken did not resolve the East Pakistan crisis. Manekshaw, without doubt, played a part in the policy stance that grew out of these deliberations. However, it is also clear that Gandhi did not need to be convinced of the decision to reconsider an early intervention. That call had already been taken by her. It was shared by her advisors, her cabinet, and reconfirmed for more logistical reasons by her army chief. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode.